this is WSLR Program Director Leon Kerber, and we hope you're all staying safe as we prepare for the incoming storm. Due to the challenges our community is facing, we've made the decision to postpone our upcoming membership drive, which was originally scheduled for October 9th through the 15th. We understand that many of you are focusing on continued recovery efforts and preparation for Milton, so we'll be moving our membership drive to November 13th through the 19th. We truly appreciate your continued support of WSLR and look forward to coming together with all of you in November. Stay tuned for more updates, and please stay safe out there.
You are listening to WSLR LP 96.5 FM in Sarasota and WBPV LP 100.1 FM in Bradenton. You can find us on the web at wslr.org. The views and opinions expressed on this show by me and my guests do not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of WSLR staff, volunteers, or board of directors. Welcome to the Progressive Page Turner. I'm Marianne Barasonic. On this program, we'll talk about books with the people who wrote them. Aaron Quinn Kong's debut novel, Hate Follow, takes a look at influencers who use their children to further their careers. The story revolves around Whitney, a woman with four children who turns to an online community after her husband's death and discovers she can make a lot of money off her social media posts. Her teenage daughter, Mia, files a lawsuit over privacy and labor issues. Aaron, thanks so much for talking with me.
Thank you so much for having me.
At one point in the book, a character writes that parents post about 1,500 images of their kids before those kids turn five. That's incredible. Is that true?
Yeah, it really is. I think the most interesting, there's lots of interesting things about social media. I feel like we're all doing it and no one's really stopped to think about the ramifications, really. In the grand scheme of things, social media is very, very new for our world. And we all just launched into it. And there are so many wonderful things about social media, right? Connecting with old friends and family that you don't see very much, and sharing your kids is absolutely part of it. I think it's just, there's layers of how you share your kids, who you're sharing your kids to. And so that's really what I wanted to explore in the book.
Have there been studies on the effects that all these posted photos have on a child's development of their self-image?
Yeah, that is a great question. So I have interviewed, or I have followed, three women who are the ones talking about this now. And so they range between 19 and 30, and all of them had parents who posted about them in different ways. One is the most vocal. She testified. There are three states that have new legislation about this that we can talk about. But I don't know about studies, but all of these people acknowledge that their parents didn't protect them. Both security-wise, they talk about men followed them home because they recognized them. One talked about that they were sent underwear just as girls. And so I don't think anything has been studied yet, but these people who are speaking out are saying, this is how it hurt me. But what is fascinating is all three of them are still very much online. I think they're just doing it on their own terms now. So I think that's fascinating because it's not like they're saying, okay, I'm going underground. They're still out there. They're just doing it their own way. So that's been really interesting. But I do think studies, I'm sure, will start coming out because I do think that generation, the first generation of kids, are becoming adults right now. So it'll be really fascinating in the coming years.
So let's talk about that legislation you mentioned. What states and what kind of legislation?
Yeah, so the first state to try to pass legislation was Washington State, and that is where, her name is Cam Barrett. She testified. That one did not pass. That one was for privacy. No, I'm sorry. That one was for financials only. But that legislation was then the core of these other states. So Illinois was the first one to pass for just financials, saying these kids have to be protected financially by their parents. And then Minnesota passed a law for privacy also and financials. And then California just last week passed a law for financials only as well. And so what's really fascinating, though, a lot of it they talk about, Gavin Newsom talked about when he signed the California law, the Jackie Coogan law in California, which was in the 1930s, a very famous child actor, when he became 18, found out his parents had taken all his money. But the difference with these laws and influencers is there's no industry. It's people at home filming their kids, filming their lives. Whereas Hollywood, you know, we're talking about movie studios. They can track this, who they're paying. So it'll be interesting that these new laws, the first one was passed last summer, so a year and a half ago, if they can actually be enforced.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about. How could it be enforced? And is the penalty that they get taken off of social media platforms?
No, you know, what's interesting is I've talked to some experts. The piece that's missing from this legislation is holding the YouTube and Instagram and TikTok accountable, because all of those people or all of those companies, the people behind the companies, are lobbying, like, leave us out of this, right? Because they make so much money. I mean, kids are such good content. And so the legislators are like, we can do this part. We can talk about the financials and pass something for that. And then the privacy is even harder. But getting these huge companies involved is not happening right now. And so
in her book, Whitney's an influencer and she gets sponsors, and then she's basically making elaborate commercials for the sponsors. Couldn't the sponsors be held financially responsible for some of this?
That's a good question. They could stop at any time. On one hand, I don't know. I mean, for my book, my hypothesis is that a child one day will grow up and sue their parent. I talked to some lawyers about this, and they did. The argument is there's parent-child doctrine that they cannot sue each other. But it has happened before. A child in Florida sued his mother for abuse, and it was actually made into a TV movie in like the 80s or 90s. Ah. But I'm like, okay, but they're not just parents, they're brands. And so that's when I think, I just am like, maybe that this will happen. I am not a lawyer, but I could see that argument being made. But yes, back to your question, I do think there's also the people viewing. There are people viewing these families every day. And so should they be held accountable too? I think it's a very hard topic because there's lots of things involved.
So one of my questions was going to be, has a lawsuit like this been filed? And it sounds like it hasn't yet.
Not yet. Not yet. So I started writing this book in December 2020. And I was like, oh, I feel like I'm late. Like, by the time I get this out, I had to get an agent and all that stuff, it'll be too late. This will have happened. But so in about 4 years, just in the last year and a half, has the legislation come about. And even that's very slow, as legislation is. And so it feels like the right time for the book to come out, because I think it's getting talked about more. I mean, the New York Times is doing a lot of articles, CNN. And even, like I said, there's just 3 women who are really talking about this. So I think there's like, yeah, there's a whole generation that's just not of age yet, but I think they're close.
Well, you mentioned the Jackie Coogan law. Mm-hmm. How do you see these children, how the parents are using them? How is that different from what we've seen in the past where parents exploit their kids as child actors or models?
The thing is when you're in Hollywood, you'll have a teacher. You know, I will say, like, Demi Lovato was actually at the signing with Gavin Newsom, and she has a new documentary out about child stars and how hard it is and how people just work you into the ground and how you need a parent to really stop that. And I think for her, that didn't happen. For influencer kids, I think the big thing is it is just families. And so they may have a manager who works with them or something, but there's no studio who provides a teacher. So, you know, they could pull their kids out of school and they could make them film 20 things a day. For me, what's interesting is there's so many layers. There's just the normal families, like my family. And I've really thought a lot, how do I want to share my kids? I am an author now, and my author Instagram is public. And so I will not show my kids on there, even though they're hilarious and adorable, and they say the funniest things, and I would love to share them. I think parents just need to decide how they want to do things. Every family needs to decide. But then there's beauty influencers, and maybe their kids run in when they're trying on a new product. And so there's that level. And then there's a step up of someone promoting their business with their kids. And then there's the people that are just realizing, okay, I can get a ton of audience with my kid. And then they'll have additional kids and they'll quit their jobs and that becomes their job. So there's so many layers of how people are doing it. And so I really try not to be preachy. It's more just, hey, this is a really new thing for our society. Like, let's talk about it. That's what I really hoped was to start the conversation.
One of the things that I liked about the book was that you don't make anybody either a hero or a villain. Whitney is a very sympathetic character, and there's a whole food chain around Whitney. Her agent makes a living off of her. Her mother depends on her. Her sister and brother rely on her money to get by. And I really felt for Whitney. Did you pattern her on somebody you know, or did you just make her up whole cloth?
I just made her up. I mean, I've been following influencers for a long time. And so I kind of just know how they work. And influencers post a lot about themselves. Some of them even post money figures, like, this is how much I made this month. They post their travel. They post their schedules. They post their children. They post their fights. I first wrote about influencers in 2009. So it's been a long time. And I think for Whitney, yes, I so appreciate you saying that, because I really tried hard to make it balance so you could feel for her as well. And I think the thing that really, for me, that identified her to me was her husband dies unexpectedly from a heart attack when she is 4 months, or she's 10 weeks pregnant with their fourth child. And so I'm a mother, and I just can't even imagine that shock and trauma, and then having to pick up the pieces. She's also a stay-at-home mom who blogs on the side. But just to have not only your life partner is gone, but now you have to be everything to these children and have another child. And so, yeah, I really wanted to make it so people could see what she was dealing with too. And it's not just, she's not just exploiting her kids. And I don't necessarily think she's exploiting her kids. I just think she hasn't thought the bigger picture. And maybe some of her children are not happy with her posting. And that's what Mia tries to tell her.
In your story, Whitney makes a solid six-figure income with her posts. Do people make that kind of money, or is she an outlier?
No, they do. It depends on how many followers you have. But once you get up into 1 million followers, yeah, you're making, if a brand comes to you for a partnership and the contract will say, okay, we will pay you $25,000 for 2 posts on your grid and 3 stories with your family. It's very specific, but yeah, we're talking 5-figure deals. Absolutely. If you have enough followers, and you hear it all the time. Like I read rumors of, okay, this brand is paying $25,000 right now. And that's why a bunch of influencers will be posting about them. So yeah, these women are absolutely making a ton of money.
Oh, it's interesting too that you say these women. Is there a gender imbalance here?
100%. Yes, it is mostly women. And on one hand, also, Whitney is making all of this money and she's able to be with her kids a lot. And I think that's why a lot of these women take this kind of career path. And isn't that any kind of working mom? It's hard to be a working mom. So if you could do it from home and make a lot of money and have your independence to do what you want, I mean, I think in a lot of ways, that is a dream job. And so that's another element of the story. Why should Whitney not be able to do that? If she built this audience, isn't that a wonderful thing? That was fun too to talk about.
Mia's the daughter, and Mia's friend complains that they're the first generation to grow up with social media. Mm-hmm. Do you think we're moving towards some sort of consensus on what should and shouldn't be posted? Or do you think it's still the Wild West out there?
I think it's still the Wild West, but there's been a lot more conversation. Another book that came out this summer was The Anxious Generation by Jonathan Haidt, Haidt. And it was about keeping kids off phones, not giving a smartphone to a kid until he really recommends, I believe, until high school, and not let, or maybe it's eighth grade, and then not having them on social media till high school. And he has all of these studies and just how social media, it's addicting and it causes depression. And so that's another element in the book, because that's something I'm thinking about every day. I haven't, my oldest is nine. And so her friends very soon will start getting phones, and I'm going to delay as soon as possible for her. But then it becomes, Mom, I'm the only one without a phone. And so I do think all of this is a very kind of modern parenting situation that just everyone that has kids right now is dealing with, for sure.
The WSLR membership drive, originally scheduled for October 9th through the 15th, has been postponed due to the recent storms. The new dates will be November 13th through the 19th. This postponement allows the community to focus on recovery efforts and prioritize their immediate needs. We appreciate your understanding and support, and we look forward to resuming the membership drive in November. You're listening to The Progressive Page Turner. I'm Marianne Barasonic. My guest today is Erin Quinn Kong, and we're talking about her book, Hate Follow. It's hard to grasp just how different this is on like the way it manipulates our brains. And then for kids who have no point of reference without this, has got to be really tough on both the parents and the kids.
Yeah, absolutely. And one thing, I've watched a lot of interviews with Jonathan Haidt that I mentioned, and he said, and this stuck with me, we're banning books all over the country, but you give a kid a smartphone and you're giving them beheadings and porn. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, it's so true. You know, I think no parent is doing that. Like, here's some porn, you know, they just have access to that immediately. And I think that for me was just really eye-opening.
Don't parental controls take care of that sort of thing?
Yeah, but kids are so smart and so savvy with that stuff that you really have to just be on them. Yes. And I mean, most parents I know will tell me, we have these apps on them and we're watching, you know, I know one dad who watches the texts of his daughter, but that's a lot of work. So then you just think, are you going to do that forever? I don't know. It's a real concern, I think. I think about it a lot. So I know all the parents around me are doing the same thing.
So the title of the book comes from a website where people post snarky comments about the influencers. And Whitney wonders why they don't just stop following her. And I wondered the same thing. Is this real? Do people spend that much time just hating other people?
Yes. And it's pretty incredible, right? So there's the two that I know the best. There's two of them. One is called Get Off My Internets. And it was the original kind of snark form. It's quite old. But the newer one that I know of is Reddit. I mean, you know, Reddit blog snark. It has almost 200,000 snarkers. And that's the main board. But then they have individual forums for individual influencers where they are just every day. Did you see what she's wearing? Why isn't her child potty trained yet? I can't believe she did this, you know, and it is this constant snark. And some of it, it's legitimate kind of snarking, and some of it is just about their outfit. But it is fascinating because these influencers are public, and so they'll have a million followers, but beyond that, anyone can go look. So these may not even be their followers. It's people who just want to bash them for whatever reason. But yeah, it's a really popular thing. And I think it's fascinating for sure. That was one of my favorite parts of the book to write because it's almost like an additional point of view. It's these people who are just chattering the entire time about Whitney.
It's like a Greek chorus on the page.
Yes.
Commenting about her. The thing about the haters is they've got to be spending a lot of time on this. That's got to be really unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's like the Mean Girls go electric.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whitney becomes an influencer because she needs the money when her husband dies suddenly. Doesn't that sort of muddy the issue? Because so many people out there who post lots of pictures of their kids, they don't make any money off of them. And is there a big difference between the people making money on social media and those who are just putting out pictures of their family?
Yeah, that is a really great question. So two of the women who are now kind of speaking out, one is 30, one is 25, and both of their parents, both of their mothers were not paid. It was not a paid thing. For whatever reason, one of them I know blogged on AOL back in the day, and then the other one posted really revealing things on Facebook. And so they were not paid, though I know Cam Barrett has said that her mother got concert tickets. You know, she must have had quite the following. So even if there's no payment involved, I think it can be really hurtful for kids.
Because the posts are so public.
Correct. But I also think, just with my own kids, I don't think you can know what social media really is until you're using it. And so like for my 9-year-old, she actually has been reading Hate Follow, which is delightful, and has said, oh, Mom, you can post whatever you want about me. But then I said, you know, what if I went on and I posted about your argument with a friend, and then her mother was one of my friends on Facebook? And she's like, oh, no, obviously not. She knows the word Instagram, but she doesn't really know what that means. There's other influencers who say, oh, my child gave me consent to post this. But do they really know what they're consenting to? And if you have a million followers, can they wrap their head around that? And that's what I don't know either. I don't know when that kind of kicks in, but I would assume it's when you're using it yourself and see how people react to you and how you react to what you see. So, and again, that just goes back to social media being so new. We're all figuring it out.
Exactly. And the pictures that Whitney posts, some of them like pictures of her dead husband's funeral and him in his casket, you think, okay, wow, that really did go over the line. But then you made the point, those postings had somebody whose husband had the symptoms of a heart attack, and he gets help early, and he basically says that he thinks Whitney saved his life.
Right. Yeah.
So there is this back and forth. There's good to this stuff too.
She is a widow and a mother, and so she's built this community, and shouldn't she be allowed to do that? I think that's another big thing. If she's had this traumatic part of her life, I mean, losing your husband is very different than losing your father like Mia did. And so that's a support for her. She has formed this community. And I also wonder, with influencers, that's their community. And so they don't see any danger in posting anything because to them, it's like they're people, right? They love me. They post nice things about me. Exactly. I love how closely you read this book, because exactly it. I made sure to hammer that stuff home about Whitney because I don't think she's this evil person. It's just what started as this help for her has kind of grown out of her control. And that's the big issue.
Oh, and the idea that once you put something out there, it takes on a life of its own is brought when one of the characters mentions that Whitney's posted a picture of her twins eating ice cream, and some of the comments are sexual. And now with AI, images are being manipulated in ways that nobody expected. Have you seen changes in this ecosystem with AI?
That is such a good question. I immediately think of those Taylor Swift images. I think unless you're really paying attention and know what's going on, yeah, I think people are fooled a lot. I feel like there was a latest AI image too that everyone was talking about. And then it was like, oh, that was AI. How new is AI? I feel like just in the last year or even less that people have really been doing that. So that's a whole nother issue. And I also wanted to say about her posting photos of her husband's casket. Unfortunately, that is a thing. I had lots of influencers who came together to inspire Whitney, but one in particular posted photos of her husband dying of cancer. And at the end, I mean, he essentially looked like a skeleton. And she posted him, and she still posts them every year in honor of World Cancer Day.
He would have known that those pictures were being posted, right?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I mean, he was very sick. Also, her mother-in-law commented, please take these down, and she never did. And so I actually didn't put that kind of note in my book because I didn't want it to be about anyone in particular. But I do think posting funerals and posting cancer, and I've seen, you know, little babies who are getting cancer treatment, people post really revealing stuff. And I think they mean it as like a goodness. This is what happened to my child. If your child is feeling this, like, get them screened for leukemia or whatever. But could that baby consent? And that's another thing.
Okay, and there's one issue I wanted to circle back on. Yeah. Are most of the snark posters also women?
Yes, I think so. And that's a very real thing that it's, yeah, women snarking on women. Because I think most of the influencers are women, and then the women watching them, you know, maybe they like them at first and they did something that they didn't like, or maybe they never liked them, but it's a very female on female dynamic of women picking at each other. And I, you know, there are male influencers, but they're fewer and farther between, and they get snarked on as well. But I do think it's, yeah, mainly women who are the snarkers for sure, which is another interesting thing, right?
Do you think that the men who post a lot of images online are judged differently than the women who do this?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. I can think of a few. There was actually a recent case that a dad was posting his twins, and they're called the Hurt Twins. And I believe it was H-U-R-T-T, Hurt Twins. And his wife divorced him, and she got full custody. And the judge said they figured out that he had spent all the money. And the judge said he could see them once a week supervised. And they clearly had a very good relationship. And he loved his children. But he was exploiting them. And that was a concern. And so there are dads for sure. I mean, there are some very big accounts I can think of that the dad is very present. But I do think the majority of influencers are moms. And they are the ones showing their kids in whatever level that they're showing them. I think women are pretty and sparkly and emotional, and they're the ones that are really developing these relationships with audiences for sure.
So you've obviously done a lot of research on this issue. Do you have any advice for parents on how to share responsibly?
Yeah, that's a great question. For me, I think if you're public, I would not personally share photos of my child's face or their school name or their team names, you know, just be very careful, because if it's public, you don't know where those photos end up. So that would be my recommendation. If it's private, your private Facebook with your family and your friends, then I think use your discretion. You think, would my child want this picture of them having a tantrum be broadcast out? That's, I guess at the end of the day, you know, that's really up to each family. But I think if you're public, I would just be careful, because you don't know where it's going to end up. That would be my recommendation.
Thank you so much for talking with me.
This is so great.
Your questions are fabulous. Thanks. My guest has been Erin Nguyen Cong, been my guest. And we've been talking about her debut novel, Hate Follow. It's been a pleasure.
Hey, everyone. WSLR Program Director Leon Kerber here. Just wanted to take a moment to thank you for your patience during our recent service disruptions. We're happy to say that we're back up and running, working to increase power, bandwidth, and signal strength. You will notice improvements. Appreciate you sticking with us through the ups and downs. Remember, you can always tune in at WSLR.org. Thank you for your support.
You're listening to 96.5 WSLR LPFM in Sarasota and 100.1 WBPV LPFM in Bradenton. BPV LPFM in Bradenton.